Log Talk Radio.
June. We're moving toward the end of June. It's only 30 days. Unfortunately, Monday we had a problem in scheduling and something got screwed up. So my apologies. Among the births today, Charles XII of Sweden, one of the great Swedish kings. I believe he was the one that, when Sweden was at its zenith, was trying to corral the Russian bear, Peter the Great, in Russia. I think he may have been gay. There's some questions about that. Of course, in those days, people weren't that particular about identifying people's sexual proclivities. Charles Parnell was born on his day. He's a great Irish patriot. In fact, there's a section in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand, when I was there, called Parnell. It's the name of a district. And he was for Irish independence and home rule. Emma Goldman was born today, a socialist reformer, lived in the United States. Helen Keller, the famous movie with her and Anne Bancroft, who taught her. Helen Keller was deaf and blind, but managed to get through life and make some great achievements in bringing attention of the plight of people who were disabled. John McIntyre, great actor, great voice, born today. And then a political animal, H. Ross Perot, his birthday, and also a presidential candidate. And an American-born opera soprano, Anna Moffo. In fact, in music, when I was in music school, they once called her as Anna Muffin. Some other interesting names like Peter Itch Tchaikovsky, and a few others which you won't get into. Among the interesting deaths today was Joseph and Hiram Smith, Joseph Smith was the founder of Mormonism. Now, this is very interesting. This is not known. Joseph Smith was probably the first candidate for Mormon candidate for the presidency. I'm surprised that these things are not being brought up when Mitt Romney is the obvious candidate for the Republicans. Smith had an interesting character. He founded Mormonism. It was a very controversial religion. Some people call it a cult. And what people objected to at that time was it was a theocratic union, which embraced the spiritual, the economic, and the political life under a spiritual leader. That may explain some of the economic habits of the Mormons. Very hardworking. They stockpile food, and they have very extensive interest in our economic situation. For instance, the Marriott Corporation was started by, I think Marriott Sr. was a Mormon. Now, what happened with Joseph Smith? On this day, he was lynched. He was in prison for treason. They had gone to Missouri, and there were a lot of controversies there, and the governor of Missouri told him to leave or be exterminated. He went to Illinois. Nauvoo, Illinois was at the time, it's in what is known as the Delta, the southern part of the state. Illinois is only about 250 miles in length. It's about half the size of California. Anyway, the governor of Illinois accused Joseph Smith, John Smith, of treason. So he's placed in prison. They broke into prison and lynched him, and he was murdered on this day. And of course, the rest of his there's a road, I think it's a US 90 or 94, across Iowa, which is called the Mormon Trail, which is where the Mormons left Illinois, went through Iowa, and came eventually to Salt Lake, to Utah. And then there was a horrible massacre of settlers who were not Mormons by a renegade band of Mormons later on. There's two famous movies about that. But I think we're going to be getting more and more Mormon history as the both Republican and Democratic conventions come near this November, unless something happens, God forbid. This is what I was going to bring up Monday. Was the Rodney King case, the videotaping in those days was VHS, of Rodney King by the LAPD, was that the beginning of modern citizen journalism? Now, keep in mind that if there wasn't any videotaping of the Rodney King case, a lot of people think that given the attitude of the newspapers toward black convicts, and which King was, the LAPD policemen who were involved, they would have probably been exonerated by the press, saying Rodney King resisted arrest. But that videotape surfaced, and they could not deny the fact that he was brutally beaten, even though the police officers involved, their defense was that King was high on something. And of course, we don't have his autopsy from his death. According to the woman, his fiancée, he was smoking marijuana, taking drugs, and was drinking, and probably was out of shape, a man his age, nearly 50, and then swimming, and he had a heart attack or drowned. We don't know what the autopsy will come up with. Although the L.A. County coroner has the most deaths that are examined in that office than any other place in the United States, and has become increasingly controversial in recent years. We still don't know what killed Breitbart or how Breitbart died. There's a lot of suspicion about that. But what's happened now, because of the cheap or the inexpensive video devices, cell phones, cameras, digital cameras, I mean, they're as cheap as $30, and the fact that they are widely disseminated, easy to buy, easy to use, and they have a worldwide market, as we've seen in the Middle East, where the revolutions or the uprisings are videotaped and they're uploaded to the web. So the press, wherever they're at, the media, whether it's electronic or print, they cannot cover up or censor and suppress activities or news events anymore. The technology has changed all that. I call it the latest phase of the Gutenberg Revolution. And the first Gutenberg Revolution was when the German Gutenberg invented the printing press, which they printed each page by hand with a machine. That took away the monopoly of the monks, the Roman Catholic monks, who transcribed print in the monasteries. They had the monopoly. And so what was not politically or religiously or theologically correct didn't get copied. But when the printing press became available in Germany and then it was disseminated throughout Europe, That broke the monopoly of the monks in the media business, and put it that way. And then, of course, this media had changed over the years to the telegraph, the telephone, the linotype, mechanization was applied to the printing presses. And then we had the radio, and then the various video devices, digital cameras, camcorders, that sort of thing. So now, and they're inexpensive generally, and the quality is very good, and you can always bump it up with software. So the both the corporate and the alternative press, and the corporate press are people like San Francisco Chronicle, the New York Times, the LA Times, San Diego Union, and the alternative press like the Bay Guardian, the weeklies, the readers, the throwaways, they can't censor and suppress anymore, because as long as somebody who has a camcorder or even a microphone and a tape recorder, a digital tape recorder, we now have that, can go out and get the news and be a citizen journalism and not be beholden and not be subject to the censorship or the rewrites of the corporate and the alternative press. So it's all changed, and it will continue to change. You know, even if they try to shut down the web, there's always tape and camcorders and CDs and DVDs. Now, what's happened, I've noticed, even around the country and on the web, that the gay parades, well, this is supposed to be Gay Pride Month here in San Francisco, that people are getting tired of it. When we first witnessed it in the first in the early 70s, it was just a fun, wild thing to go do and watch, and it was colorful and all that. We're in politics. Increasingly, two things have happened. Three things. The radical sexual preference propagandists took it over. Politicians who were looking for votes and to stay in office and a political base got involved. And then the corporate interests, see, they saw that there was money to be made. So now it's just become one commercial wild thing that people are getting tired of, because there's such activities as sadomasochism, whipping naked people, lesbians whipping men, a lot of frontal nudity, and most of those people should be arrested for anesthetic exposure. They're always showing their shortcomings. And so even the gays, people who are gay in their private life and don't politicize their sexual preference, are starting to write letters and saying, you know, this is getting boring. It's, and where is this thing going? It's not what it originally started out to be. Also, gays had a legitimate complaint about their economic interest in discrimination in the workplace and in housing, and even in the courts. I've heard complaints that they were discriminated against, and this has all changed. Now we have practically all the judges on the San Francisco bench are gay or lesbian, very few so-called heterosexual judges. And now, this is an example of censorship in the media by the morons, and not all media people are morons. They now are demanding that judges be required to disclose what their sexual preference is, as if this has something to do with their competence, ethics, and honesty, or their fitness to be on the bench or to remain on the bench. It's none of their business, you know, if a judge is gay or lesbian or heterosexual or an abstainer. You know, as long as they follow the law and behave ethically and treat the defendants and plaintiffs who come into their courts and have jurisdiction, treat them fairly. That's the only issue. And, of course, maybe we should have term limits. Some of these judges are there forever. And we'll get into what happens when a judge retires. They can make two salaries. And we'll get into that. Now, if Sandusky had worked in San Francisco at, say, San Francisco Unified School District or one of the colleges, he would have probably gotten away with what he is accused and convicted of doing in Pennsylvania. I say this because this is what happened in the San Francisco Unified School District. Pupils, students were raped, especially males. There was a case of a lesbian gym teachers who raped a young girl in the showers. And one of the reasons that the students don't want to take showers is not because they're trying to save water, it's because they're afraid of being sexually assaulted. And, of course, this was covered up by the morons in the media. And this happened in the San Francisco Unified School District. Now, the only prosecutions for sexual misconduct were of Roman Catholic priests. We had the case of a sexual assault at the Reverend Amos Brown, who's a black Baptist, whose claim to fame is that he touched Martin Luther King's garment. He's a political preacher who a lot of complaints about his Third Baptist Church. He has $250,000 in judgments against him and his church for the sexual abuse of young girls and their allegations about the Ethiopian boy refugees who may have been sexually molested in a building that he was responsible for or had some connection to. So this is what happens. There's also a politically correct black priest who was sent out here from New York, and it is believed, it is suspected, that he was sent west because he was involved in some sexual scandal back east. But he made connections to the radical left gay politicians here in San Francisco, and they put him on the San Francisco Housing Authority. But these are the things that go on, and we don't hear of rabbis being prosecuted, black Protestants generally being prosecuted. The Amos Brown case was a civil case, not a criminal case, and some people think it should have been a criminal case. And then the Asian kids are victims because they come here and they will, because of the Confucian tradition that they're brought up in, they will obey adults. And there are adults who are sexual predators who prey on Asian boys and girls. So, the issue came up. If Sandusky had worked in San Francisco, he'd have probably gotten away with this. Thank God he didn't. We are going to play What's the Matter with Will Rogers. This is an excerpt tape that we had in the Verzola Carson Western Public Radio archives, and I think this is very relevant, especially now.
Dancing at a Reisenweber's restaurant in New York. And while the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange aid stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day and it says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Katie. And Hinky Dinky Polly Voo became pop hits. And Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago. And the great Caruso recorded it.
Your mom.
As the war was ending, John Wanamaker's, a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wires. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz, radio.